Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and I'm going to have a roundtable discussion today about issues in the city of Albany. My guest today is Tony Gatti, Zach Simpson, and Greg Adela. And I want to particularly focus in on two issues, and that's the elections of next year and the issue of gun violence in the city of Albany. So, guys, I'd like to start with the city elections. There's going to be a turnover on the county council. What's your views on that, Tony?
You know, I guess first and foremost, it's important that the common council represent the people. Let's start there. It's also equally important that the people are involved and engaged to make sure that their needs and issues are heard and addressed. And if there isn't that level of, transparency from the constituents, then it's tough to ask for accountability from the elected officials. So it's a total collaborative effort that it will take, regardless of who sits in those positions. In order for there to be change, people need to know what changes need to be made, and then there's an accountability factor. And if those changes aren't made, then there's always going to be turnover in those seats. It's really about getting the best people who are the most connected and engaged with their communities and speak to the issues of the community. So I guess that's what would be my starting point. Not really being fully aware of each current council member or any potential council members. There's obviously a level of engagement that needs to be put forth to learn more about what they stand for. And I think if those two things mesh, then there's opportunities for a better level of representation.
Zach?
So I'm sorry, Cynthia, you want me to comment on the Common Council requirements?
Right.
So from what I understand, there are four council members that have announced they're going to be not running again for election. It's Richard Conti from 6th Ward, Judy Dochette from the 9th Ward, council member Michael O'Brien from my ward, number 12. And then there's also Joe Igo from the 14th
mm-hmm.
Ward.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add up the number of years that these four individuals have served our city on the Common Council, it's got to be decades and decades.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as bad as 2017 when there was a complete turnover of half of the council, about half of the council turned over. So this is a little bit different because you don't have the whole half of the council turning over, but you do have that loss of institutional knowledge. The loss of procedure, knowledge, because I know Richard Conti, he was the president pro tem, and he is very skilled on the rules of order and, the rules, the resolutions, the ordinances. So, that's a concern that, even though you're going to have, four new individuals stepping up, running and serving, there's going to be that real brain drain where you're not going to be able to say, well, Richard would have known this, or Mike would have known that. It's going to be a little harder, but I'm sure even though they're retired, they're still going to be around and answer questions when things pop up. So, but I know all four of them very well. And I do wish them all the best in their retirement. I know that most of them have, you know, grandkids to spend time with. So, you know, cheers to them. I think, you know, they've done a wonderful service to our city.
Greg?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to echo, you know, both Tony and Zach's words in regards to the council members that are stepped down, and also what I think could enhance the city moving forward. You know, the couple of gentlemen that were on the council for a long period of time, I know had dealings with my uncle who has passed away, who was a county legislator years ago. So, yeah, their service was fantastic to have for the city. I think that, you know, with what's happening in the city is completely different than 2017, and with the uptick in violence and guns and COVID, and I can't say this enough, you cannot blame everything on COVID. There is things that are, you know, a foundational concern in Albany. I guess we can get to that in the second part. So in regards to the council, I would suggest that, yeah, those guys will probably be around, you know, if we need to grab their ear or get some insight. But I'm a fan of looking to the future and to say, look, we need new blood. These guys are frustrated. They do have family lives outside of it, but they're frustrated. There's as Tony mentioned, there's very much lack of transparency from the top down in this city. It's just blatantly obvious what's been going on in the past few years and even what's reported on. And I think that with new council members who are right for the job that get in, I think it's great to have more involvement. I like how the council members the past few weeks, including Mr. Ellis, how they are speaking their mind. I think this city is notorious for not wanting to rock the boat of their fellow constituents. And I think it's high time that it's good to have constructive disagreements for the betterment of the city. So I think that anyone who's willing to step up and wants a job has my blessing. I think you're moving forward, just needs to be, you know, transparent and very much more vocal. I've also noticed that, you know, a lot of these councilmen are getting more vocal now. Where were they before? So, yeah, they were speaking their mind, but they really need to get fired up more. That's what they're in there for, is for to get the word from the people back to the people that need to hear it. And start truly, truly cleaning up the city from the inside
Greg,
out.
Greg, I agree with you. Corey Ellis has been more or less a silent partner over the years. Mm-hmm. And he had run before. He ran against Jerry Jennings. He ran against Kathy Sheehan for mayor. And then he teamed up with Kathy Sheehan to run for common council. And all the years that he's been common council president, which really hasn't been too many, but he's been common council president. And he's been silent. He hasn't said much. And now all of a sudden, you know, when he might run for mayor again, how come all of a sudden he found his voice? What do you guys think?
Well, it's Greg. If I can answer that, I think it's pretty much like how politics has been run for the way of the entire world, the history of the world. You know, a lot of people speak up when election time comes around, and that's when they pour it on hard and heavy to get reelected or in there. Now I'm also a type of person that espouses positivity, and people can do a 180. Perhaps they had a breakthrough, and they said, you know what? Maybe we are just spending too much time frittering our time away. Let's really get involved and let's do this. This is a good time in the history of life and in the city to turn things around, have some humility, and speak up. Now, for that to work, though, every single resident has to hold these people accountable 100%, because there's a lack of apathy in the city of Albany. I mean, I think it was, to my figures that I got on the poll in 2017, it was under 17,000 people that voted total in the entire city of Albany. So that's something that has to be looked at too, you know, because there's just people. I just think there's a lot of people that just don't care, and they're getting more frustrated with the city and the lack of transparency and basically, in my opinion, the lack of leadership that it has right now.
You, what I found, I've lived in Albany since 2009. I lived in Saratoga County for many years before that, And what I've noticed over the past 11 years is that the politicians play musical chairs in the city. They might run for one office. They might not get it. They'll run for something else. And you really don't see too many fresh faces. And when you get people like Barack Obama said, run for office. It's more complicated than that. You have to overcome the powers that be and make your voice heard and run for office. When so many people who have been in this game for a while just keep running, and the majority of people who are watching this become spectators, I don't think that's a good solution. I know, Greg, you're very opinionated. What do you think?
This is what happens, in my opinion, and this is not picking on Albany. I mean, this is just my study of what I've traveled in the States and what I've looked into political-wise, and it's right there for everyone, you know, to look at every day. I agree that, because I think there's a lack of frustration, too, with that. For someone to have the courage to put some of their life aside and say, look, I'm going to run for a position in office, okay? Look, this is nothing new. When you're in the system, you somehow get corrupted and manipulated in some respect. And I think that puts people off to where, you know, look, I want to come in and try to do something good because I really care. Zach's a great example of that. You know, Zach Spencer, and he does a lot of stuff with the Alliance. He's very, very involved. I thought I was involved. I mean, Zach is really involved in a way, as is Tony, you know, and I think that you need I've said it before. I said it in my docuseries, one of my pieces this summer. You need people, okay, in my opinion, to answer the question from Albany. You need that trust from people that know the streets and know the region for empathy. You can't have leaders turn their backs. I'll give you an example. Okay, it's right in black and white. Monday in the Albany Times Union paper, they had the article with Sheehan and Corey Ellis stating how they were butting heads. Okay, because they want more transparency. And Sheehan saying diverted a little bit from it. And then her chief of operations, Brian Shea, had said, look, Sheehan doesn't want to politicize anything that's going on and talk about what possibly, you know, if she's going to run next year or not. But Sheehan, to quote in print, Sheehan is currently concentrating on assisting former Vice President Joe Biden's presidential campaign. That, I'm telling you, is a slap in everyone's face. That's a slap in our business that's 77 years old. Other friends' businesses and restaurants, the good people who are the residents of Albany, it's a slap in the Capital Region. Because you mean to tell me that with 118 shootings on your watch, that you have time to focus your attention on D.C.? Albany is very much in a deep hole, and it's been that way since 2017 when she said she was going to do A, B, and C and X, Y, and Z. It's all in black and white. So I think there's some frustration that's bubbling up with these people. And the more that gets dismissed and there's no accountability by any type of outlet in the 518 that I know of other than radio that holds these people and is really bringing it to light, I think that's what needs to shift and change to where people can come in and actually feel like they're making a change. And also go back to what Cynthia, Tony, and I believe Zach may have mentioned it. Forgive me if you didn't. But I'm a huge believer in term limits. You have to have new blood in there. You have to. It's only fair because not everybody knows everything. So get some new ideas in there and nurture that.
Right. And to your point, you know, in terms of the accountability and the transparency, that's a two-way street, because if you really want to know what's going on, the meetings are public.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, and the attendance is low.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't put everything on the elected officials. You can put what you can put on them. But at the same time, if we don't attend the meetings to hear what's going on in real time. You can't turn around and just then say there's, you know, there's no transparency. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Now, speaking to the point about, the article that came out Monday that kind of, portrayed issues in a certain light, there's always going to be that because not everybody agrees about everything. Sometimes stories kind of unfold in real time and then they develop over time. Understanding that in our community, when you have someone who is elevated to a position, it places sometimes an unfair amount of weight on that one person to always be the person. So from my perspective, it doesn't really matter to me when people speak out, especially now in this moment. There's almost a given that it's time to speak out. Certain things have to be said. So I'm encouraged by the number of voices from President Ellis to Councilman Johnson and others who are stepping into the moment to speak truth to power. And I'm not really necessarily concerned about looking backwards, only as a point of reference to know what works and also what does not work. So anyone that steps up and wants to be, to lead is a good thing. Understanding also that I've always, as somewhat of a student, understood that, in some ways we're all public servants, but when you decide to run for office, you make a choice whether you want to still be a public servant as an elected official or if you just kind of want to be a politician. And that sometimes the lines can get blurred with those, choices, because those choices determine how you decide to advocate and represent your constituents. And, I'm encouraged by what I'm starting to see gradually, slowly, in not just elected officials speaking out, but also public servants who are just private citizens who care about their communities. Specifically, as a chamber, what happens in certain communities just inherently means more to us. And it's just a given fact. So we have to be concerned, just as concerned about Arbor Hill and West Hill as there is concern about Pine Hills. And those resources that are not getting to Arbor Hill, West Hill, and the South End, may I add, that has to be as much of a priority as the development, if you will, of other communities that consistently receive resources. Now, I read an article recently about a community center coming to West Hill. Okay, that's great. But what about the South End? Where will that community center in West Hill be located? Will it be convenient to residents of Arbor Hill? You can't just take a one-and-done approach, just like you can't place all the weight on one council person, one council president. It is a partnership between residents, businesses, organizations, mm-hmm. and elected officials. If one part of that chain is broken, or weak, the whole chain is weakened. So I don't put everything on any one person. If we're not all doing our part, then nothing's getting done. And as we can see, in the places that things need to get done, not enough is being done.
Jack?
This is Greg. Sorry, Jack, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I bring an interesting perspective to, next year as, I am a member of the Albany County Democratic Committee. I represent Ward 12, District 2, which is the Pine Bush neighborhoods. I am fully aware that there's been discussion about, Mayor Sheehan running again. I know that at least two of the debates I attended in 2017, where she was running against Frank Commisso Jr. and Carolyn McLaughlin, she stated openly and readily that she was looking to the model of the mayor of Syracuse, which is two terms. She actually echoed that, she felt two terms was appropriate. So for her to gear up term, I really think it's, you know, a little problematic because she did commit to two terms. You should really stick to your word. I know, but then again, she's not the first politician that would change their mind, like George Pataki. George Pataki was supposed to do two terms, get three. So, you know, but that's not an issue for me. My issue is, so Corey Ellis, I know him very well. He's the council president. I think he's a very capable man. He's obviously very driven politically as a former, you know, he was a council member. Now he's council president. He's run twice for mayor. I think one time with Jerry Jennings, he almost won the primary. But unfortunately, came up a little short. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, when you make that really difficult decision to run for political office, you have to really start asking yourself some questions, which is, do I have the cash on hand to run? Do I have the donors to reach out to contribute? Do I have a story about why I want to run? You also have to look at, do I have the support to run? Not just money, because you need boots on the ground. You know, depending on what race you're running for, you need a campaign manager, you need a treasurer, you may need a field director. So these are those things that it makes it a really difficult thing. I mean, anybody can run for political office. Anybody can. But the question is, what type of, you know, apparatus you have? What type of apparatus can you put together if you don't have one? And, you know, how committed are you to representing the real interests of the people that you're trying to represent, and not just the interests of the mayor, the interests of, you know, the majority? That's something that people really have to think about. And I really wish more people that do decide to run for office really would make better decisions, because you do see those people that run over and over again for the same thing, and they just never reach, you know, they never pull themselves up on that bar. So that's where I come from. You know, involved with the committee. You know, there's been rumors about me running for office someday. I won't comment at the moment, but if I ever do, I think I would do a phenomenal job, because it's not about the politics, it's about the people. And that's right. Where I come from.
You know, Greg, to your point, Zach, sometimes it's a matter of people making that commitment to run and putting together the right team to support their effort. The resources that it takes are obviously, you know, the amount of, you know, campaign fundraising you must do, but it's also the campaign fundraising that you need to do too, because that support, that groundswell support comes from the community. Are you speaking to their issues specifically? You can't really talk about Albany as a monolith, because what happens in certain parts of Albany is different. So therefore, the resources, the investment, the level of engagement is different, all the way down to the conditions of the streets themselves. You know, how well are they paved? Is the trash being picked up? You know, as a chamber, we have to look at, if we're going to bring business opportunities to our communities, then the landscape has to be such where businesses know that they can be sustainable and profitable in those communities. And that setting of the foundation is incumbent upon what is required. You can't just say, I need you to open a black business in a black community just because you're black. That's not good business. So again,
Greg,
I'll go back to that partnership aspect of what a city is really all about. And the mayor is essentially the president and CEO of the business of said city.
Yeah, if I thank Cynthia, and good points by Tony and Zach. You know, to the point of partnership, I'm a firm believer in this. And when I started making the series 2.5 years ago, that was exactly the point. Our family's been there for 77 years. Bloodshed is on our block. It's indisputable. I talk with people that are on the wrong side of the tracks in life at least 3 times a week. Okay? So the team blends over into the, if you're going to use, you know, the CEO comparison, as Tony did with the CEO, everyone needs to report back to Sheehan with transparency, and she needs to listen to what is being said. Now, you hear that often, okay? Our fifth ward, Jamel Robinson, I don't see eye to eye with that guy. It's public. It's nothing personal. Not at all. I've said that to him. It's just business. Because they talk about, you know, you got the county executive, the mayor, what can we do for the city? Okay, well, they want to hear from people. So we're white. We happen to be white. We have a business. I try to say, look, and this is when I sat with the mayor and both Chief Sears and Hawkins. I said, what else can I do? What do you want me to do that I can try to keep empowering people? And what more should we do since if we haven't done anything? And we've done a lot in 77 years. So I can't get through. I can't get through to him, Robinson. So how is anybody else supposed to get through with him? You can't. So I've simply asked, look, you know, and I've said to the mayor too, this is all fact, to where I said, look, I will do that. She was going to have her people reach out to me in her office. In 2 years, I haven't heard anything. So it's very hard. And that's why, that's what saddens me. Because if you come over to the West Hill and see how impoverished parts really are, there's no sense of empowerment of what they say they want. If so, come and walk the streets. Come meet with the handful of people that have businesses there that, you know, are from day to day that are have been there for decades, and we can help. But I'm tired of going above and beyond in the way of not getting the respect back. And I'm not just me. I'm saying the royal me and the royal us to have these issues reflected back to the mayor of real change and empowerment. And you know what? I've said it before. It doesn't cost millions of dollars. A smile is free. To show up is somewhat free. You're on the clock, but really show up and say that you care. When you don't, show up to a concern, everyone's going to turn around and be like, if they don't care, why the hell should I care? And that's what troubles me.
Can I also comment? So I deal a lot, you know, because I'm vice president of my neighborhood. I'm on the executive committee of Council of Albany Neighborhoods. And I'm the founder of the Uptown Cooperative. So I communicate a lot with departments, you know, city departments, the mayor's office.
Mm-hmm.
My real criticism is everybody's entitled to an acknowledgement of receipt of an email, of a phone call, of a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't get that acknowledgement, that courtesy of an acknowledgement saying, hey, I got your inquiry. I'm looking into it. I'll follow up when I have your answer. And then maybe you'll come back around and say, hey, I'm still waiting on your answer. I didn't forget about you. That's good business. That is good business. And quite frankly, I think we need to start bringing a little more private sector industry knowledge into the public sector, because quite frankly, in my business, if I don't acknowledge emails, I get in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's
Absolutely.
A problem for me. And I've had more than one instance where I just don't get an acknowledgement. I think that's offensive to a lot of people, and it's not good.
I agree 100% with you, Dad.
I regret to tell you guys that time is up for today.
Okay.
So,
oh, no.
Well, we'll resume this conversation soon. You've been listening to Tony Gabby, Jack Simpson, and Greg Adela. This is Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook. Hey, guys, it was a real pleasure. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you. Thanks, Cynthia.
Thank you. Thanks,
bye.
Guys. Have a good day.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. Be well.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.